Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
Hey everyone, welcome to Truth, Lies, Shenanigans, the live streaming podcast where your favorite hosts bring some of the most interesting headlines of the week to you and to our panel to discuss. Then we'll ask the question, is this truth, lies, or shenanigans? And of course, we always try to have fun with some shenanigans of our own along the way. My name is Neo Nix, and we have an awesome show for you today. Last week, we had movie time with Micah, where we reviewed the movie No Sudden Move, starring Don Cheadle and Benicio Del Toro. Well, one of the breakout actors from the movie, Javon Anderson, who played Lonnie, happened to be watching. And boy, do we have a treat for you, because Javon is here today for our guest spotlight. Guest spotlight. Also, later in the show, Robbie Rock wants to discuss the Alabama governor breaking ranks with the good old boys party, or the grand old party, whichever, on COVID vaccines. And Lizzie Enders is telling us about a man who died because some trolls wanted his coveted Twitter handle. Then Gianni Storm is asking if Cuba's Communist Party is losing control as they're in the midst of heavy protesting. As always, we'll start with a quick fire question and end with Shenanigans, the game show. But before we get into our show, let me introduce you to our lovely host for today's show, the professor, journalist, editor, and sports intern mentor, Miss Lizzie Enders.
Hello. What's up, everyone? Happy Sunday, fun day. Have you guys been watching the Olympics?
I have.
Has the audience been watching the Olympics?
Canada's been doing pretty well, actually.
Gymnastics.
So gymnastics started what would be last night for Japan, but early this morning for us. But I haven't gotten any sleep, because I've been up watching the Olympics, editing stories, and fighting a whole bunch of maintenance issues in my apartment. So I'm tired, y'all. I'm tired. So if I happen to have some bags underneath my eyes, or I doze off, it could be because I'm tired because of lack of sleep, or because, you know, got a little something over here. But I'm happy to see you guys here. We're going to have, like Neo said, we're going to have a great show today. So Sunday fun day.
All right, and our gamer, our tech guru, and bona fide rock star with the rock band Fallen Machine, coming to you from Sudbury, Ontario, in Canada, Mr. Rob B. Rock.
What's up? Again, like Liz said, happy Sunday fun day. I was able to get out to the lake today and spend a little bit of time with family, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And as we were playing in the water, a family of ducks came out, Mama Duck and six ducklings. Aww. And the nieces fed them a little bit of bread, and they stayed very close by. Like, I was swimming within 3 to 4 feet of them. They were definitely skittish, because they're out in nature, and I'm not part of their ecosystem. So it was nice to see that they were still afraid of us, despite the fact that they took the food, and it was just such a peaceful experience.
You're part of the ecosystem, because you're the predator, the top predator in our ecosystem.
The apex predator,
So, you eat them.
What's the weather like out there?
It is warm. It is humid. It's a nice day. It is a nice day.
Finally, Canada.
We've had them. The garden's growing.
All right. And back feeling better, our model, actress, college student, and co-host of TLS Unscripted, Ms. Gianni Storm.
Thank you, guys. I'm so glad you said that. I almost forgot I was sick. I feel so much better. And I can taste, I can smell, I feel like a normal human being. But I wanted to shout out my dog. Happy birthday to Sasha.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday. If I had known it was Sasha's birthday.
Sasha? How old is Sasha?
Sasha is now 5, but I think that's 35 in dog years. Okay. No, don't eat that. 35 in dog years.
Happy birthday.
All right. So Gianni, you had another fun unscripted episode on Wednesday. Tell everyone what you talked about and when and where they can watch you next.
So last week, we actually did Unscripted on Stage, where we just do kind of improv scenarios. But we basically improvised for a question, a relationship question that we asked our audience. It was really fun. You guys can check me and Olivia E. on TikTok at TLS Live Show Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
Yep, and then we'll restream it out to all our other platforms as well.
So what was the relationship question?
So it was a question where, I just remembered because we do a bunch of them. So it was a question where the man had a stable job that he was providing for his woman for 3 years. And then she got a nice job and he said, okay, let me take a 30-day break while you hold this over. Yeah, and she said no.
It was a fun little skit. So you guys did a fantastic job. So, all right. So we got a packed show. So let's get to our quick fire question. All right. So engagement photos widely circulated online show a woman dressed as an 1800s plantation owner who appears to be saving her black fiance from a life of slavery. What are your thoughts on this couple's pre-wedding slavery themed photo shoot? Lizzie Enders.
Coons gone coon.
Coons
gone coon.
Robbie Rock.
Oh, to both of you, how could you let your fiance talk you into this? And if this was your idea, why?
Because coon's gone coon. Because coon's gone coon.
Gianni.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, what in the hell? Like, I can't even, I couldn't come up with a response. I don't know.
I think Master needs to actually whip him a few times or force him to watch his children get raped and sold. I bet he'd think twice. Anything twice about those photos if that happened. So
I mean, we don't need the massa whipping any other black folks. This was a topic that honestly I didn't even want to discuss today because I was so disgusted. Like literally, like when Neo first brought this to the table to our topic session, I was just in shock. Like it's 2021 and we still tap dancing like this. Like, come on, where is your sense of self-respect?
I'm going to give credit to my niece, Bernadette B-Girl. B-Girl sent this to me, actually. I didn't know about it.
Thank you for sending it to us, B-Girl. But it really threw me for a loop where I was kind of speechless for a second. Like, what am I supposed to say about this?
Yeah. I know.
What am I supposed to say about this?
Well,
it's
awful. Like,
it's
the audacity.
It's disgusting.
And it definitely gets worse because now the photos include one depicting the shackled black man sitting on the ground picking at sugar cane, right? Another of her kissing, of him kissing her hands and having her unlock his shackles. And then there's another image showing the black man pictured in a top hat entails apparently now part of the wealthy family with the caption 1814 days passed and everything changed. Our love got stronger and stronger. He was no longer a slave. He was part of the family. So, I mean, what were they? What were they thinking? Were any of you able to make sense of like what their perspective was? I mean,
no, never. No. I think they're trolling. That's the only logical, rational thing I can think of.
And you know what, Gianni? I saw somewhere where people were saying that they thought this was set up or, like you said, they were trolling. That kind of makes it even worse because this isn't funny. This isn't a joke.
That's true.
Like, this is disgusting. It's disgusting. And in an era where we are arguing about critical race theory and the proper legitimate history of race relations and slavery in this country, these two idiots come up with this. Like, I can't even.
Yeah, I figure for the most part, it was an intention grab for sure. It was definitely an intention grab. I mean, I think they knew what they were doing. I think they knew the backlash was coming. But it's
of course.
I mean, you have to realize, like Jacqueline Robinson says, I have to wonder what his thought, what his family thought about it.
She said, is the mama?
She said he needs his face slapped. Olivia says stupid, but it's their choice, so do as they please. Everybody also expresses themselves. Everybody else expresses themselves in 2021.
But now the world has to see it, though.
Yeah. You have to be like, you could do as you please in your own little bubble, but when you post
you do as you please, but you receive the backlash from it.
Exactly. So now I'm going to come for you. Now I'm going to come for you. Call you a coon and an idiot.
If you make it part of the public sphere, then it's open season. It's
It's true.
Totally agree. All right. So that's a great quick fire question. Good job, guys. So we'll get to our host headlines a little bit later in the show, but right now it's time to bring in our spotlight guest.
What's up, Javon?
Our spotlight is on actor Javon Anderson.
Hey.
There he is. Welcome, Javon. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Thank you
all for having me.
All right, let me tell the audience exactly who you are, Javon. Javon Anderson grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and attended Wayne State University before finding his passion for acting as an extra in the film Conviction. After that, Javon auditioned for whatever he could, including the 2014 film Goosebumps, which he actually eventually lost out on because of his weight. The rejection inspired Javon to lose 135 pounds in 7 months. After interviews on Good Morning America and Yahoo regarding his metamorphosis, he soon booked roles in national commercials and feature films like The End of the Tour, Royals, A Family Christmas, Heartlock. And then in February of 2019, he landed the role of a lifetime alongside Academy Award winner Matt Damon and Golden Globe winner Don Cheadle as Lonnie in the feature film No Sudden Move. And let me tell you, he made the most of that opportunity because he was fantastic. Thank you so much for joining our show. Thank you, Javon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Javon.
All right. Now, I know I tried to give an extensive bio, but I wanted to give you a little time to tell us more about yourself. And so we can get to know you a little bit better, tell us something we can't Google about you.
Something you can't Google about me. So two things, actually. One is that I'm very happy with dirt and motorcycles and four-wheelers and all types of ATV off-road. Yeah. I've actually been riding dirt bikes since 7 years old.
Wow, 7 years old.
Sorry about that little...
No problem.
No problem.
That's the way technology is sometimes.
Yeah. And we've been getting all types of crazy weather here, so it's been a lot of storms and a lot's going on.
Knocking it out.
Signal and services over here. So,
cool. No problem. But, so go ahead. You were telling us about something that you like, dirt bikes.
I'm into the thrill seeking. I love riding motorcycles, four wheelers. Man, I've been doing it since I was yay high. I mean, I can catwalk. I can do all types of stuff. And I love to go skating.
Oh, you're skilled.
Skating. Yep, with my grandfather took me skating since I was 7 years old. Same thing.
We're talking roller skating?
Oh, yeah, roller skating. No.
My wife.
Yay, hi.
You don't understand. My wife is all about roller skating right now. I mean, she's she wants to open a roller skating rink. She's like, we're trying to take our friends to roller skating. She's mad because I don't roller skate.
It's a good activity to have. It keeps you in shape, keeps you active. It's something that's light,
hard,
easy to do with the family.
Yeah, definitely. All right, that's awesome. So, question I had: I want to know what it was like acting alongside a legend such as Don Cheadle, Benicio del Toro. I mean, you're here in this scene with these two, I mean, incredible actors. And you did a fantastic job. I mean, you fit right in. I mean,
natural.
Yeah. So tell us what it was like. What was it like being on set like that?
It felt like, if compared to sports, it was like basketball going to the finals every day on set.
Wow.
I mean, the level of guys brought, and it was just so natural with them that it just caused you to step up, step it up a notch. to be on that level. And then seeing like how deep and intricate they are with their characters, it's like a masterclass that you're watching as you're acting with these guys. So it's like it was like a dream come true as an actor, really, because you always see, you know, you take classes and they talk about these things of these great legends, but to be witnessing it firsthand and take those tidbits back, and I can't explain. It's phenomenal. It's just a phenomenal experience.
So you feel like you learned a ton from them, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
When what were you able to take, like, specifically? Okay, good.
Oh, when I say that they were so detailed on their character development, and, like, when we were talking on set, just chopping it up on scenes. So we for instance, a scene with me and Don Cheadle. Benicio is on the sidelines, and then he kind of interjects a little bit and says, "Hey, I think this kind of can go this way for your character." And I'm like, "Wow, I'm just taken back, because I'm like, he's diving into my character," and I'm like, to see that level of dedication to the script was unseen before for myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's so interesting.
Things like that. I took a lot of notes from them on how to really dive into your character development. As an actor, you still have to go a little bit harder, another notch up, so to speak, for your character for that film.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I learned a lot of when watching those actors, that they really take that serious.
All right.
Nice.
Okay. Now I have one more question before I turn it over to my co-host. So, you lost over 100 pounds. Now I've lost, I've gone up and down in weight from time to time. You know, I've been working out, and then I lose some weight, and then so I've lost 70 pounds at one point when I was younger. And the reaction I received from people was so very different. It's like suddenly people see you differently. They see you as a person differently. Did you experience that? And how much does weight truly affect your marketability in general, like in the movie industry?
Just to dive back into what you were saying, you do get different notices and looks that you would not have had before, or would have not have been there before. And from my perspective, it shouldn't be like that for an individual, because you're still the same person regardless of what the appearance
is. That's how I felt. But
it did for the field of acting. It played a lot of impact on me as far as marketability. I was kind of not to say pigeon-toed, but a lot of the roles I were getting were based on appearance and not necessarily skill or level of what you can do. A lot of it would be just you just look more so than you can get this role or part type of thing. So that really drove me to take myself more serious with my weight loss. Say, hey, I'm going to kind of affect my lifestyle, so I need to make adjustments and do what I need to do in order to be more marketable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna turn it over to Lizzie. What's your question, Lizzie?
So you're from Detroit, right?
Yes.
A lot of the movie was filmed in Detroit, your hometown. How was that?
Oh yeah.
How was that?
It was exciting. And usually you don't get too many Hollywood films like that entirely shoot in your state. And for them to entirely shoot in Detroit alone, I mean, that was fantastic. And to know that Steven Soderbergh really had a goal to come to Detroit, Michigan, and really shoot this entire film here, no matter what it took. And he made it happen. And as a Detroiter, that is astounding to me. I hope that a lot of other people take note from him doing that and see that you could come to Detroit, Michigan, and make a fantastic film with a great crew of actors. So I'm very happy for that as a Detroiter, that he really came and shot that whole film here. Because you don't typically see a lot of Hollywood films that come here.
And I assume he pulled in a lot of extras from Detroit as well.
Oh, yeah. I want to say, other than your main A-list cast, it was all locals from production cast-wise. Awesome. Oh, yeah. He utilized lot of Detroiters.
That's amazing.
He really did a lot of good for our city. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Because I was just going to ask, like, how did the community respond? Like, I'm sure there was a lot of hype, you know, a lot of job opportunities, a lot of opportunities for businesses in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely brought a lot of business back to Detroit. A lot of things, like you said, opportunities for actors who have not had, a chance to work with somebody of that caliber to come here and shoot their film here. Usually you hear a lot of stories about people having to go to California or Atlanta. He came here and allowed a lot of Detroiters the opportunity to be a part of his project. And that alone is a huge thank you that Detroit was giving back to the cast, because he showed as much love as he showed back to us. I mean, we welcomed him with warm arms.
I think that's probably why it made it feel authentic.
Yeah.
I have one more quick question. So this movie was not set in 2021. You know, this was like, what, 1950s, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So it was a little bit of a time warp. So how was that for you? Like, what preparation did you have to do to go back in time to make your character authentic?
So one thing, to be honest with you, is that Ed Solomon, the writer, as I was reading this script, I realized that he dug into a lot of Detroit history, and so much so that it was eye-opening to myself as well. And I had to go back and do a lot of research on our Black Bottom Detroit, on our automotive industry here. It was very eye-opening. It was like a history lesson, so to speak, in watching that film and reading the script. So as a Detroiter, I am astounded that he put so much detail into this film about our city, and that he brought out history that I didn't even know. A lot of my younger generation don't know about the Black Bottom Detroit. So it definitely was an eye-opener for our city.
Wonderful.
Very nice.
All right, I want to go to Gianni Storm next.
I actually had, okay, I'll ask this one. As an actor, what would you like to be remembered for? Or what is a role that you would like to play?
For one, for me specifically, I want to deliver an impactful performance. So I always look after my idols that I look at, the Denzel Washingtons, the roles that they take on that leave a good impact on you as a person. They can make you go home and think, whether it's something that's, you know, impactful to your family or just your personal life. I want to deliver performances that leave a feeling with everyone, that leaves you, you know, in a good, whether it be happy moment or even if it's a serious, sad piece where I had to deliver a very powerful message to you. You know, I want to be able to just convey good energy to my performances. So that's my ultimate goal. So I wouldn't say I specifically have a role that I want, more so where it's that whatever role that I do dive into, I want to give a good performance to my audience.
You're all good.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
All right,
Robbie?
So I really, just to feed off of what you were just saying, in No Sudden Move, the scene where you're in there in the apartment with Don Cheadle and he's looking for a place to stay, I really connected with your character at that point because I really felt just that conflict from within. It was just, you really wanted to hook him up, but it's like, there's too much heat. You got to get the fuck out.
No, I agree. And like you said, when it comes to doing a backstory on your character script, I knew that I had, for me, a character, for Lonnie and Kurt, we had to have a lot of history for what went on. And just talking to Don Cheadle, reason that he wanted to do certain things and giving me and him a stronger history, I mean, that really conveyed great with that scene as well, because I wanted a heads up that I can and say, hey, man, what's going on is not what we should be doing. We've kind of been through these things. And that was with the history that I had created a lot, that, you know, we went through this hoop 10 times and I want to really be here for you, but you're forcing my hand, so to speak. And funny story, just to tad bit about that scene, Don Cheadle actually improv. There was a little bit of improv in that scene. And it showed perfectly with everything that went, oh yeah. And that came from just us building up a history with our characters and just going through the motions over and over. It just opened up that world.
So then how's your improv? How's your improv?
That's a good question.
Well, we got it on film. I take improv. I take it very seriously, because when you build in a character, the lines, as great as the script is, lines don't always matter. You have to have a character presence to deliver those lines. So when we can go off script, if my character is solid enough, it doesn't matter what lines are written down. If I know the direction and what we're trying to accomplish in that scene, it'll just flow naturally. So I feel like improv is something that I really take seriously. And given from the caliber of those actors and to see it firsthand, it's something that's very keen and you have to be able to do. You have to be able to just go off script and take control of a character.
Gianni, you might have to try to get him on Unscripted off stage. Or what is the name of your? What's the name of your?
It's Unscripted. Unscripted on stage.
On stage. Get him on there for some improv one day. That'd be fun.
I would love to.
He said he'd love to, Gianni. You have to work that out.
That would be fun.
I want to drop a name on you, and I want you to tell me how significant this person has been in your development as an actor. Sharita Walker, your aunt.
Oh, so huge, huge. I have to give all thanks to Sharita Walker, my aunt. She's the reason I'm acting. She kicked it off for me years ago when I was in a whole different career path. She urged me to go to this casting call that led me to being an extra in Conviction. And I'm telling you, it set off a firestorm for me to really take this seriously and want to be passionate for this. So I give her all credit due for that. She is super helpful into that journey of my life.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you feel you need to move to Hollywood? I know you're still in Detroit. Well, do you feel like you need to move to Hollywood?
Well, at this point, I just got management on the West Coast, so I am going to be dabbling out on the West Coast. So, I am going to be planting my feet out there and looking for the you know next bigger big opportunity.
That's a good question. I mean, because Gianni, you might need to move out there too. Get your acting gig going.
I'm in Atlanta and I still can't find anything, but I think I'm gonna take your advice, Javon, and look for representation.
Or even Gianni, or maybe even New York to start.
Oh, New York.
Maybe even New York to start. Yeah.
It's closer. Yeah.
That's true.
It's expensive. Well, both LA is expensive too.
Yeah, I was gonna say
LA's pretty
expensive. Very, yeah.
But it's not New York expensive. I'm gonna be honest.
No, I mean, you're right.
There's some places you can live in LA and be okay. New York is like.
Be prepared. I'm just telling y'all, if y'all go to New York before you get to LA, be prepared to live in a box.
Yep.
For like $1,000 a month.
Yes.
Just be prepared for that.
Yep. That's
20 years.
That's New York.
I've heard the stories. Stories.
Yeah, y'all have. You know, Detroit. I know. Detroit is on the comeback, but Detroit has some really nice houses. So some of their houses are like they're huge houses. I mean, but they are just really nice with like the interiors and everything. They're like really nice houses.
Well, let me just say this about Detroit. Also, Detroit also has a lot of houses that are on the market or that are unoccupied that need to be developed. So if you want like a project, you know, buy one of those houses.
And they're nice houses.
Aren't expensive now. And then, you know, you go look at House Hunters, go to HGTV and build that shit up. And, you know, you got $1 million house in a minute. You got $1 million house in a minute.
What I would say is the Detroit market is definitely on the rise. It's a lot of development that's been coming to here. I mean, from our downtown with Dan Gilbert and so much going on, it is a lot of development going on in the city of Detroit.
Yeah. So there were a couple of questions online real quick. So Olivia says, do you have any other big projects lined up that we should be looking out for? And have you lost any friends or families due to your success, or is it all support and happiness?
Been all support and happiness. I haven't experienced any vibes or anything like that, so it's been all positivity on my end for that. And as far as for my next thing that's going on, I just recently filmed a movie called The Bad Girls 2 here in Detroit. That'll be coming out, I want to say, within the next few months.
What's it called? Say it again. You broke up slightly.
The Bad Girls. Oh, The Bad Girls 2.
The Bad Girls 2. Nice. Okay.
Yep. Nice. That'll be coming out in a few months. And I'm auditioning like crazy. I've got a few commercials in the lineup. So.
And I saw this. I saw this online. What is this? The Silent War?
Yes. Yep. That's Silent War. That's a short film that I did with Lance Kawas. He's a director here from Detroit as well. I worked with him on The Royals Christmas and Family Thanksgiving. So that's one of his passion projects. Phenomenal director. And that's something that I can't wait to come out as well. That'll be coming out early 2022. I believe a trailer should be coming out within the next few weeks, if I'm not mistaken. But yep, that is going to be another fantastic project by a great team from Detroit.
Awesome. And also, I know Micah, I don't know if you said you saw last week's show. So Micah on last week's show of Black on Black Cinema podcast, he's one of the co-hosts there. I know they'd love to probably get you on as well. So I'm going to put you in contact with him. All right.
Definitely. I appreciate the support.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see you blow up. Be awesome. I mean, you're already on your way up. You're already on your way up, so that's always good. Basically. Yeah. Yeah, so Gianni Storm, you're going to get him on Unscripted on stage, and then we're going to hook him up with Black on Black.
Yes. We got to think of a character for you, oh, yeah. Javon. We got to think of your character. We'll come up with
it. It sounds good to me. Oh, yeah. I am all on board.
Nice.
All right, Javon. Well, I want to thank you. This is all the time we have, but I do want to give you an opportunity to say any last words and let people know how they can look you up, find you.
I can be reached on through my social media. Instagram handle is Javon_Anderson, Javon_Anderson_, or Twitter under the same handle as well. I want to thank you guys so much for welcoming me out to this. This was a fantastic experience. I want to give a shout out to my future wife, Chantrice. I'm actually getting married next month, August 22nd, guys.
Oh, that's right. I did see something nice. Online where you did a proposal. You did a proposal somewhere, right?
Yes.
I think I did
yes.
see that.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to see. I'm going to see if I can find that real quick.
Neil's about to pull it.
I'm about to see if I can find that thing real quick. I don't think I have it ready. I was going to say,
you're getting married next month?
Yes, the 22nd.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Congratulations, Javon. Wow. This is your year.
This is your year.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Actually, I think I have it. Hold on. Let me see. I think I was able to get it. I'm going to see if I can. Do it real quick. Let's see. Let me see what I can do. Sorry, I was able to get it.
Thank you. That was, one of the best moments of my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Good for you. Good
Javon. You.
Glad to see it.
Very nice.
Glad to see it.
All right, Javon.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us, and we will definitely look to have you back and everybody get in contact with you. Thanks again, Javon. Okay.
Thanks again.
I appreciate you guys.
Bye, Javon. Thank you.
Thank you all. And everyone have a great day. Thanks for the invite again. I appreciate you all.
You too.
Corey.
Thank you.
That was sweet. I wasn't expecting that. That was so sweet.
That was awesome.
That was very Yeah, I'm glad I was able to get it quickly. We'll pull that
That's
one.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I remember when I proposed to my wife. It was a great feeling as well.
I remember your video of you proposing to your wife on the cruise ship. I remember that.
Yeah, that's right.
Cute.
Yeah, on the cruise ship. I took on a nice cruise and we did it in front of like everybody, but
see, I don't know how I feel about those
proposals
in front of large crowds. That's you're really stacking the odds. You know what? She's not gonna say no.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what
you gotta be sure 100%.
Rob, I kind of agree with you, but not because I think that he's gonna say no, even though I'm not gonna propose to him. But I would want mine a little bit more intimate, but I appreciate those who have, public proposals and they're authentic and they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Neo's was nice. Gotta give him props. Yeah. Neo's was nice.
Well, thank you.
And as an internet user, I appreciate the ones where the person gets freaked out and runs away with a stadium of people watching.
I wasn't going to do that. My wife wouldn't have stayed with me if I had done something like that.
I mean, that's a great way to get your beer free at a major league game. Because that shit's expensive. But I mean, if you stage it, and people are going to buy you beer all night.
Sorry about
your luck, bro. Here's a drink.
That's a good finesse.
All right, now it's time to get into our host headlines. Just to let you know, each week our hosts bring us headlines in the news they want to discuss. That host will tell everybody what's going on. Then our lovely panel will chat about it, sharing their unique points of view on the issue until we see our friend Genji. And that's when we know time is up and it's time to hear from you guys. And we'll take your online questions and comments, so please comment online. At the very end, we'll ask, and if this is truth, lies, or shenanigans. And for our podcast listeners, don't forget, you can join in the live conversation every Sunday, 4 p.m. We stream on all major platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and find us at TLS Live Show or TLSShow.com. So let's get to it.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
What?
Today we are starting with Rob B. Rock. You're talking about Governor Ivey in Alabama calling out the unvaccinated. What happened?
I am giving a shout out to rock star of the week, Alabama Republican Governor Kay Ivey. On Thursday, she called out the unvaccinated folks for the rise in COVID cases in her state. And if you haven't checked the map lately, Alabama's is one of the worst states right now as far as COVID cases.
But nobody's beating Florida.
Vaccination.
I mean, Alabama is, even without COVID, Alabama is one of the worst states.
That's so mean.
But it is the least vaccinated state in the country. Yeah, it is the least vaccinated state in the country with only about 34% of residents being fully vaccinated. So that's a pretty weak game because the U.S. has a surplus of vaccines that they're shipping out. So the fact that it's only 34% is ridiculous. And the government did share that she received both of her doses of the COVID vaccine in December. It's not a violation of her HIPAA rights. She's a leader. She is an example to her constituents. Are you listening, MTG? Are you listening?
MTG.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, your best friend.
Alabama.
Did you get the vaccine? Alabama. That's a violation of my HIPAA rights. Oh, shut up and just be a decent
First
person.
Of all, it's not.
Exactly.
To understand what HIPAA is, Dak Prescott, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys this week, someone asked him in a press conference, did you get vaccinated? He said, I think that's a violation of HIPAA. No, it is not. HIPAA pertains to medical staff and insurance companies and the fact that they are not allowed to divulge your information. It has nothing
yeah,
to do
medical
with
information.
Rob exactly. B asking if you got vaccinated, people. So, Rob B, ask away. Ask away.
Yeah, exactly. So, Neo, I believe you have a short clip so we can hear this rock star in action calling everybody out.
I do.
The new cases in COVID are because of unvaccinated folks. Almost 100% of the new hospitalizations are with unvaccinated folks. And the deaths are certainly occurring with unvaccinated folks. These folks are choosing a horrible lifestyle of self-inflicted pain.
Besides this emotional plea you just gave us, what is it going to take to get people to get shots in arms?
I don't know. You tell me. Folks are supposed to have common sense. But it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down.
But as a leader of the state, don't you think it's your responsibility to try and help get this situation under control?
I've done all I know how to do. I can encourage you to do something, but I can't make you take care of yourself.
That's right.
Okay. Where's the lie?
Okay, Mama.
Where's the lie?
So, my friends, what say you? Is the GOP leadership ready to hear this from within its own ranks?
Let's start with Gianni.
I was going to say, I agree. I feel like there is an issue. And she said, I've done all I could do, right? But there has been other states that have gone above. I know Georgia is going above and beyond for certain for people to be vaccinated. So there's like, I wouldn't go as far as to do like a lottery and all of whatever people are doing, but there needs to be more incentive. And I understand, I know what you guys are going to say, like, why is there an incentive to save lives? But there's so much skepticism. Oh, sorry, let me get this right. There's so much skepticism in like, especially in the younger generation, people just don't trust it. And it's not even like, oh, we just want to be rebellious or ignorant. It's just, they don't trust it. So, yeah. I want to hear what you guys.
I just want to say real quick to that. So one of the things she said was the variants are because of the unvaccinated. And that's a very accurate statement because the more people that get COVID, the more chances there are for variants and other ones to, you know, for it to become more resistant. So the unvaccinated, so they're like petri dishes for COVID to become a variant. So, I mean, she was very accurate on that as well. Did you guys want to respond to Gianni real quick or Lizzie?
Yeah. like she should have done more to make people get vaccinated is basically what I'm saying.
Well, it's social accountability. What incentive is there other than doing your part as a citizen in your community, doing what's right? And I find it just so shameful that people are saying, well, it's my right not to. Okay, I agree. It is your right not to. But it's also your right to participate in a society as a contributing member. And when it's called upon you to get a vaccine, get the goddamn vaccine. No one's putting a rifle in your hand and saying, go across the sea and shoot these people. Just take a little jab in your arm. Take your Fauci ouchie, as it's been dubbed. Take it.
Fauci ouchie.
But I think it's more so coming from a place where it's not like I said, it's not to be rebellious and be like, we don't want to do it. It's my right. It's not really about that. It's more of a misunderstanding. And then that is perpetuated when social media is like, yeah, in the comments, they're like on the Shade Room. Yeah, we're not getting vaccinated. So it's just like, I understand where those people are coming from. If you don't know, you don't know.
The majority of the people that are not being vaccinated are younger people who lack education on the value of vaccines. Now, this may not be the majority. The majority are the Trumpers, but the second majority, the next group would be young people. And so, I mean, I get it. And I actually liked DC, Mira Bowser did like, they gave her a $51 gift card or something to get the vaccine. But I see Lizzie's chomping, so go ahead.
One, ignorance of the law, ignorance of medical availability is not an excuse for anything, okay? It's your responsibility, especially in 2020, where all of this information is out there for you to consume, for you to get. It's up to you to educate yourself and govern yourself accordingly. If you are looking to Shade Room for some information, then we have a problem. Then we really have a problem. And I want to say to a lot of these people, when they're looking at a lot of these Republicans, a lot of these GOP politicians, all of them are vaccinated. Mm-hmm. All of them are vaccinated. You even look at Donald Trump back in the day, who was talking about this disease this virus as if it wasn't real, as if vaccinations didn't matter. He was poking fun at, you know, Joe Biden before the election, because Joe Biden wants to shut down all this stuff if you're not vaccinated. Guess who got a vaccination? I would love to see a poll of the people in Congress who aren't vaccinated. Guarantee you those numbers would be small.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So
I'm sure Rand Paul has vaccine.
I mean, Rand Paul has to get vaccinated because he got so many people that are coming in his face wanting to beat his ass. He has to protect himself from those people first, right?
Yeah, for those that don't know, he got beat up on his lawn not too long
ago. By his neighbor, and I wasn't mad at it. I wasn't mad at it. And Fauci goes in on him every single time he can. But my point is don't buy into the bullshit that these people are selling you. They are protecting themselves while also saying, for political purposes, this is not fair, this is not within constitutional right. Don't buy into that. Ask them why they got vaccinated. If they're telling you not to get a vaccination because it is your right not to be vaccinated, okay, it technically is your right, but it's also the right of businesses, of schools, of me as an individual person to say, get the fuck away from me. You are potentially contagious. So start to ask those questions. Is why are they protecting themselves, but they are not asking you to protect yourself?
Robbie, before we get back to you, I'm going to go to the comments online real quick.
Yeah, some great comments.
Yeah, so Jacqueline Robin says, MTG, the Geico cave woman. That's funny. Daria Winter says, I love common sense, in quotes. Your life is the incentive. And she also points out it mutates in its hosts. And she also suggests, stay in your house and don't come. Olivia says, but it's still only for emergency use. It hasn't been through all the phases. It's a legit concern. She says, I blame the unvaccinated. Oh, and then Karen Andrews says as well, some people just don't trust the vaccine. And I wanted to, this is one of the points that I wanted to bring up. And I get the whole, you know, the way African-Americans have been treated throughout history, you know, and we're not talking vaccines, but I'm just talking about medical things like, you know, back in the day. So, and so, yeah, I get it. African-Americans are scared because of that. But the truth of the matter is, I have an in-law that sent me some information about vaccines. And the truth is, this is an unprecedented vaccine. We haven't seen a vaccine like the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines in history because it's a new way of doing vaccines. The the messenger mRNA vaccine. It's never been done before. We have no idea, honestly, how this affects the body because we don't have enough. All we have is the trials so far. And the trials haven't been completed fully for all people. So the reality is, it's a legit concern. I agree with Olivia and Karen. This is a legit and reasonable concern for some people. I don't believe that many of these people who should have legit concerns, I don't think that's the reason they're not getting vaccinated, though. Because I think they're not getting vaccinated because of all the Trumpers out there telling them that it's wrong, it's this, it's that, and the other. Not because they've actually looked into it and tried to consider the pros and cons. I mean, but the truth remains, we don't know if somewhere down the line, someone from this vaccine, we develop sickle cell disease, or we develop some other issue, or maybe we get, or another virus becomes easier to catch. We don't know because there's not enough history. We don't even know if we need a booster or not, a third booster. Mm-hmm. That's how much we don't know about this vaccine. So there's a lot of still questions and reasonable. I'm just thinking that most people who are not getting it, I don't think that's the reason they're not getting it, though. But go ahead.
A lot of people who aren't getting it aren't being rational about how they live their lives. Because in 2020, I knew four Black people who died of COVID. In 2021, two people, one Black, one white, who died of COVID. Mm-hmm. Several other people who contracted COVID didn't die, but they are suffering. They are suffering. And so my thing is, okay, so you're willing to put that risk, mm-hmm. the risk of death, the risk of long-term symptoms,
yes.
Vaccination that will 100% make your arm swollen, or, you know, down the line, you might have some reaction. Like, what is that?
But the reality is you'll die from the percentage of deaths from COVID is exceptionally high.
We're talking, I think, near 700,000 deaths just in this country alone, not tracking the after effect of the people who have
post-COVID.
But more importantly, a lot of people are, you know, spewing out all of this language. Well, you know, I'm concerned about the vaccine and blah, 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 blah. Are you concerned about the cough medicine that you take? Are you concerned about all the other drugs that you take? That when you look in,
you can die from Tylenol.
Or when you, how is it different?
That's a little different.
I mean,
it is a little different in terms of there's some history to it.
But they give you the information what the risks are for these vaccines the same way they give you the information for Robitussin.
But go ahead, Gianna.
Before Gianna goes, and I question because I've had to do this with a lot of people who are in my circle. You smoke weed that is laced in shit that you don't know where it came from. You drink all the time, myself included. But yet you have unprotected sex. All day, every day.
You can die from drinking water.
But you want to come at me about a vaccination that not only implicates your life, but implicates mine as someone who is immune compromised. That's where I have a problem. Like, there are inconsistencies with a lot of the excuses for not taking the vaccine. Mm-hmm. That's my issue. Like, if we're going to come correct, let's come correct with all of the truth. Like, you look on every time you see a commercial on TV about Viagra, about all of these other drugs that are new and sorry, Rob. Didn't mean to touch America. Sorry, Rob.
No, I love American pharmaceutical commercials because of the list of side effects. We don't have that in Canada. So I love American pharmaceutical commercials for that. May kill you. Okay, so I'm solving Billy's anxiety, but he's going to be dizzy. He's going to fall out of the tree. He's going to shit his pants
grow
and throw
up
with all the other kids laughing at him. Oh, great.
But at least he's not anxious. But they still want to get a erect penis and be able to bust a nut. So they're willing to take that risk for that. And so I that's my issue, is that people aren't being really, they aren't being rational about their
They're being excuses. Disingenuous about their opinion.
Disingenuous. Exactly. I think
I won't put that in my body, but what about all the other chemical cocktails that you put in your body, or the things you put in your body that you have no idea? Oh, I love Ben and Jerry's. Okay. Can you list the chemical ingredients in that shit? Because it's disgusting and you put it in your body. It's just,
it should all be about pros and cons and risks. So you're always weighing the pros and cons and the risks. So if you're looking at the pros and cons of taking the vaccine versus doing COVID, risking COVID, the pros and cons weigh heavily towards getting the vaccine. Not only that, further protecting other people, because as variants start to form in, you know, like I say, unvaccinated people are basically petri dishes. Creating a new, potentially worse virus like the Delta variant, which it's already created. I mean, that is a risk that we're taking, and we're putting other people potentially at risk, even people who've been vaccinated. Because actually, you know, the Delta variant, where the current vaccine, the Pfizer Moderna vaccines, were 94% effective against the original COVID variant. It's only 80% effective against the Delta variant. So there,
Gamma.
Well, I was reading Delta, so Gamma might be worse. I don't know. What I was reading said Delta. It was only 80% effective against Delta, and that was only the Pfizer that had done the trial. I mean, the test on that. At that point, Moderna had not done anything against the Delta variant. So, I'm just saying, it could get worse, where the vaccine becomes absolutely useless because of all the unvaccinated people. So she has a great point.
People don't understand the idea that viruses mutate. It's the same with the flu shot. You know, the flu shot that I got this year is not the same flu shot that I got 3 years ago, because the virus had a mutation.
Yep.
And medical science.
Did they tell us about the mutation ahead of time, with COVID? I don't know. I'm really
asking. For viruses, it's kind of common knowledge. Like, a virus doesn't stay in its same state. Viruses are live. Viruses are active. Yep. They change, mutate. And so medical science has to adjust to the virus. So every flu shot that you take is not the same as the one you took the previous year or the previous year before that. And let me just say this. And my sister, Jacqueline Robinson, is a part of this thread, so she can agree. My name is Elizabeth Eleanor Newman. I'm named after my father's sister, who died in the late 30s of the whooping cough. At 15 years old, before there was a virus, there was a vaccine for it. Once the vaccine came, in the early 40s, it was basically eradicated. The same for polio, the same for all of these other diseases and viruses that we had back in the early 20th century. Like, this is not rocket science, people. Vaccines help to save lives. And the fact that this vaccine was created so quickly, that's a testament to the advancement in technology of science. Not because they're trying to get over on us. It's because it's 2021. Honestly, I expect them to have that shit overnight, because it's 2021.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Again, my dad's sister died at 15 of the whooping cough. 3-4 years later, she could have been saved because of a vaccine. And I think Americans, we've been very lucky that we have not had a pandemic like this in decades. And so now it's kind of testing our trust and our knowledge and our willing to believe in the technology that we hype up all the time. Like, why do we send people to medical school if they aren't going to create this for us?
I'm in total agreement with you. Did you have anything you wanted to say, Gianni? I know you were trying to get something in. Okay. So,
I just had a question.
And you have another question?
No.
Okay. No, I mean, I totally agree with you, Liz. The, like I say, it's all about pros and cons. And unvaccination, you know, you're pretty much saying, hey, if I get unvaccinated, I'm going to put myself at risk for COVID Delta, which is crushing people right now. Mm-hmm. And so, and the only thing that's allowed us to reopen is the vaccine, which is protecting us. So protecting the people who choose to take the vaccine. So, I mean, at some point you just say, well, if you're not going to get the vaccine, let them go. The problem with that, again, is still, as she said, they're petri dishes. They're still not good enough. It's still not good enough. I don't want to mandate the vaccine because it's not been vetted for a long enough period of time, but at the same time.
And no vaccine, no medicine on the planet is 100%. People need to understand that.
Advil, they die from Advil.
Every
single one.
Every single medication that you take.
Every single one.
Medication that you take that is 100%.
You just got to weigh the pros and cons.
There's no vaccine that has a 100% cure rate. That's just not a thing.
Don't want to risk death from Advil or get rid of my headache. All right. All right. So that's it. That's all the time we have for our host to talk. So now we got to talk to you guys. There's a lot of comments online. So let's get to that. I'm going to start with the most recent one from Lady Annie Burrill.
Annie Betty.
Hi, Lady Annie.
Betty.
You're right, Lizzie. Mutations will happen as the virus will try to stay alive. But yes, also agree vaccines work. This COVID happened so fast, hence the change in information so much. I believe things will settle down, maybe not very soon, but in the near future. Daria Winter said, then those vaccines hide among the vaccinated, and then those children for whom no vaccinations have been approved are vulnerable. Stay home if you are unvaccinated. That's another thing. I mean, if you're unvaccinated, maybe they should cause them to, maybe that's the mandate, maybe not getting the vaccine, but maybe they have to stay home like we did for a year and a half.
Well, we're starting to see it just for entertainment purposes, where people need documentation that they have had their vaccine before they can attend. And some people feel that it's discriminatory, but at the end of the day, the people who made the responsible choice for their society get to participate in society.
Yes,
you above me.
People like Eric Clapton, who are talking about how he had all of these symptoms from the vaccinations, and he's an anti-vaxxer. He got vaccinated, but then he didn't follow the rules of the vaccination that he got. But also, he's not taking into consideration that he was a crackhead. For four decades. His body is just a mess. It's gonna relax. It's gonna react negatively to anything out there.
So
necessarily COVID or a negative reaction to the vaccine. He was a fucking crackhead.
Are you saying that he had a reference point when he wrote cocaine?
All right, so
Cocaine, there is a problem, bro.
You're addicted.
Olivia makes a good point. She says, I have the vaccine, and I wish everyone with the vaccine would continue to follow the original guidelines. I'm so pissed at the CDC for their messaging, because we can still catch it and spread it to one another. Which I agree. I mean, I think we should still start looking at, you know, going back to mask mandates, especially as this Delta variant is getting out there. Jacqueline Robinson says, I vehemently disagree with this both sides thing. I'm sorry, but The same folks who are encouraging that others get vaccinated jump the line to get themselves and their families vaccinated. I think she's talking about the senators Lizzie was talking about earlier. It's politically motivated at this point, and ignorance is willful. I want to point out that Ephraim also says, please do not mix science with politics. Robin Johnson, Karen Andrews first, Thompson, she said, recommended reading is the book Medical Apartheid. Try that. Okay. And Robin Johnson, who is a veterinarian, a doctor herself, the vaccine has been in development long before COVID. COVID just gave the opportunity to apply this virus to the vaccine. So,
it didn't happen overnight.
I think she's talking about this mRNA vaccine of trying to do it a different way has been in development for a while.
I think a lot of people think that, some doctors went into the lab in December, January, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden developed this vaccine. And I'm like, no, it's been in the works. They've been working on this and developing this for years. That's how science works. It's trial and error for years.
All right. Before we get into the next one, I want to say Missy Brule says, Rob Bertrand, no vaccine for me.
I work with Missy. She's pretty awesome. I know that Missy has two young children, and that's been a big cause of concern because, as you said earlier, there has been no approved vaccine for children. It's causing all kinds of issues in kids. So I can appreciate where there would be some apprehension based on that information.
All right. Let's get into our next quick topics.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
That's what we call it now? Quick talk?
No, we're just going to make them quick. All right, Lizzie, let's talk about this poor man dying over a Twitter handle. What happened?
So there was a guy this week who, unfortunately, he had been going through this issue for a number of years. So he, back when Twitter first started, he decided that he was going to buy the Twitter handle at Tennessee, right? Because he's from Tennessee, he was a fan of the Tennessee, football and basketball programs at the universities in his state. And then as Twitter became more popular, people wanted to buy that handle from him. And he said, no, this is my thing. This is my legacy. This is my roots. Mm-hmm. And so he started to get bullied online for it. People started to bully him over a Twitter handle to the point where...
I wish they would.
Two guys started to swat him. And I don't know if the listening or viewing audience knows what swatting is. Swatting is a form of bullying, actually a form of stalking, where people target you for whatever reason, and they decide that they're going to call into the police. They're going to call the police and send the police to your residence saying that you've committed a crime, saying that you've done X, Y, Z, when you haven't done anything. And unfortunately, in this case of swatting, it turns out that the two swatters here were an American teenager and a teenager from the UK. Not only initially did they start calling his house, ordering like Domino's and Chinese food and all kinds of stuff to his house that he didn't order, but then on that fateful day, they called the police and said that there was a crime against a woman being committed at his residence, which wasn't true. The police showed up in full armor, guns drawn, and he had a heart attack and died. But my question to the panel is, I think the youngest kid, the American teenager, just turned 18, so he's going to be tried as an adult. The kid in the UK is not yet 18, so he cannot be tried as an adult. But I'm just curious to the panel, what do you think should happen to these young men who did this?
I think that we need to do a revamp of extradition laws because of the type of acts that were being committed. Even if you're based in the UK, you're still committing a crime in a different country. So we really need to look at the extradition rules to hold these people accountable, because if we live in an international community, if we are able to engage, support, or attack one another, then we need to be able to held to account by a set of standards. This is cyberbullying pretty much at its worst. It's criminal harassment.
I took a look at some of the Tennessee law books, and Tennessee wrongful death is absolutely something that could apply here. There's the misuse of 911 services. Play stupid games, play stupid prizes, but it's so shameful that someone lost their life over a goddamn tag, over a domain name, a Twitter handle. Like, it's, come on. Like, have we really gotten down this far ethically? It's shame on you. Like, it's whatever these young men have coming to them, they've earned a hundredfold. And I hope that through this process, they will learn how accountable they are, and that this will weigh on them for the rest of their lives, because this is the worst kind of bullying. And the kid, they don't even know him. They're attacking him because of the at Tennessee handle.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
And I think in this situation, with this, before we get to Gianni, I think what's important about this is that a lot of times the victims don't know that they're being, the victims don't know that they're being bullied. They don't know that they're a part of this process until the police show up at their residence, gun drawn. Like in 2017, a young man died. The police shot him because they thought that he was a criminal attacking women. That he, I think it was either he had a bomb in his house or he was a rapist. And they showed up at his house and he ended up being shot and killed over something that he had nothing to do with. He had no idea this was happening. Gianni?
I do believe those boys should be held accountable because this was like a game to them. Obviously, somebody was wrongfully died. I don't even know what to say because I feel like there's no question that they should receive consequence, but it's just, what was the motive? Like, I understand the Twitter handle, but what are you going to do with that? Like, that's confusing.
Especially for the guy in the UK, like, you don't even live in the United States.
Live here.
A handle that's at Tennessee. You're in England. Like, what is that? That's crazy. But I just wanted to, I brought this to the table because this is becoming a thing. With all the cyberbullying, with all of the internet chatter back and forth, where people aren't nice to each other, with, you know, Chrissy Teigen, who bullied a lot of people, this is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
And people have died because of swatting. They've died. This poor man did nothing wrong but answer the door.
Yeah, it was, when I saw it, it was sad. I mean, like I say, I know I said I wish it would happen to me because, I don't know. I'm glad that they're one of them was put in jail or charged. So
yeah,
but at least that. But it was sad. I mean, at least they're getting there is some justice for it. But it's
and where are the parents? Where are these parents with these badass children?
Yeah. It's a lose-lose situation because now those little boys have the rest of their life to make up for that, you know. That sucks. That's always bad news, especially the man that lost his life as well.
I'll admit, I didn't know what swatting was. I read this. This is from Jacqueline Robinson. So we're going online. I read this story yesterday, and it's horrifying. Not only was this poor man swatted, his family members were doxxed and threatened. Absolutely vile. What is doxxed? I didn't know what swatting
was. I had to look it up, actually. So doxing is basically revealing what were previously private details. So by doing internet searches, you can find out information. So if someone was convicted of a crime, if these are public records. So what they're doing is they're mining for dirt, and then they're sharing this information publicly. So it's
all over a Twitter handle.
It's so horrible.
It's an orchestrated campaign of hate, and that's it for a Twitter handle, so that they can get additional traffic on a platform.
Yeah,
come on, man.
All right,
that's so stupid.
All right, next up,
truth,
cool, lies,
shenanigans.
Oh, you know what? We didn't ask. Was this truth, lies, or shenanigans? The last
shenanigans.
Yeah, shenanigans.
Shenanigans, but it's truth. Like,
it's a dark truth.
It's a dark
truth. Dark truth shenanigans.
All right, Gianni Storm. So you've got something going on in Cuba. Tell us all about it.
Yes. So if you guys haven't heard already, since July 11th, actually, Cuban citizens have taken to the street across the country of Cuba for the first time in more than 6 decades, that's 60 years, to protest against deteriorating living conditions for them, for citizens, and the lack of basic goods and services, like medical attention, as well as, I think coronavirus infection is increasing in Cuba as well. So the protests, with thousands of people calling for an end of the 62-year-old communist regime, protests spread to more than 40 cities and towns, including the capital, Havana, as well as United States cities such as Miami, New York, Atlanta. I just wanted the co-host, your opinions on Cuban citizens finally coming together and showing out, acting out, protesting.
All right, let's start with Lizzie.
I mean, I think, you know, it's 2021 and, you know, Fidel Castro is dead. Raul has stepped down from leadership of the country. So there is an opportunity to get a different type of government in the actual country. However, I'm always skeptical at how Americans cover this story. Because lest we forget the U.S. embargo on Cuba, which has added to a lot of the disenfranchisement of Cubans, to the poverty in Cuba, to a lot of the unrest in Cuba. Like, this isn't just something that was created by the Cuban government. The United States has aided in this. And they aided in this because, unfortunately, you know, the Cuban government back in the mid-50s decided we don't want to be a U.S. territory. It didn't start with Castro. It started with Batista. And so I understand what a lot of the Cuban people have gone through over the past decades, but we always, in America, we always want to act like, you know, our hands are free. Like, we haven't contributed to this problem, and we have. We are a part of this problem. I think, you know, once Raul stepped down, I think it was only natural that, okay, the country was going to try to decide, where do we go from here? Like, do we continue with this communist regime, or do we do something that's a bit more democratic? And if we do, do we allow the do we allow the U.S. government to take advantage of that? Like, there are a lot of variables involved in this situation. I feel bad for the people because they're the ones that generally suffer. I've been keeping a close eye on this because I have a lot of Cuban friends. I want to one day go to Cuba without having to go through Canada or go through all of these, you know, side streets or whatever because of the embargo. But it's something that I think, Gianni, I appreciate that you brought this to the forefront, because I think this is something, you know, as we move through 2021 and go into 2022, this is a topic that's only going to get bigger and bigger.
We need to
look at all sides of it and acknowledge our part as Americans in it.
Bobby?
Yeah, so I know one of the slogans in Cuba is Libertad y Muertes, so liberty or death. And that was coined by the government of the day, and now it's been rebranded by the people, Libertad y Vida, so liberty life. And what's... You're right, Johnny. There's a lot of factors that have been driving this. COVID-19 and the lack of response or the ability to respond is a huge contention point. I know that Russia is sending COVID vaccines to the island nation of Cuba. So hats off to Putin. Not often that I get to give him props. I don't get to give him props often, but he's sending doses to people who need them. So, hey, great. the economic situation in
he's
last
only
year,
doing it. I mean, you got to realize why he's doing it, though. He's only
he might be a. I was like, what's the edge?
I mean, he's not doing it just to be a nice guy.
No, he's not. But if people are receiving
at least,
you know, something positive from that, then so be it. Because we ain't giving Cuba.
That's what I'm saying. It should be us.
But the U.S. is shipping millions of vaccines to India so that Indians can keep producing cheap wares for the U.S.
Exactly.
Right?
Very good point.
That kind of self-serving shit. Okay.
You better tell Rob. You better tell
Rob. But the economic situation has deteriorated in the last year because Cuba relies heavily on tourism. And since last year, the government opened shops where Cubans can buy foods and basic necessities using foreign currency. But because there's no... because no one's coming to Cuba anymore because of COVID, there's no foreign currency to be spent there. So people are really hurting. They don't have the means to procure the things that they need. And another factor that's really driving it is internet access. So now people are able to mobilize, organize, and really get together to overturn this government, overturn this regime, and have people or have their voices heard to have a government elected by the people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, you guys left me no time. So fortunately,
we still need
Jacqueline Robinson mentioned what I was going to mention. So I'm going to read her comment. Glad you mentioned the embargo. We were in Havana a couple of years ago, and there are a list of hotels, restaurants, etc. that Americans were prohibited from visiting. We went via a cruise because Obama attempted to normalize relations with Cuba, but IQ45 shut all such attempts down. So, yeah, and I was going to mention Obama and then Trump's subsequent
last point. Embargo has been in effect since 1958.
There's no last point.
1958.
Yeah, it's been a long time. In a long time. All right. Great topic, Gianni. Thank you very much for that.
Yes. Thank you, Gianni.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So we are going to our game show.
I love this sound.
Shenanigans, the game show. We're playing the app 5 Second Guess. The app will ask you to name three things. You'll have 5 seconds to list those three things. Lizzie gets a little bump because she gets an early start. You'll have only 5 seconds to list those things, and you can do it. If you can do it in the 5 seconds, you get a point. The person with the most points wins the game. I'm getting a face from Lizzie, by the way.
Yeah.
Final thought for the... You get the final thought for the show. Because you have more than 5 seconds. Significantly more than 5 seconds.
Name three things you can brush.
You have significantly more than 5 seconds again. So,
okay.
So if you don't get it, then you know we have a problem.
Then it's on you.
All right. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and get started. All right. 5 things. Go quick.
You can brush your teeth. You could brush your hair on your head. You could brush your pet. And you could brush your pubic hair.
Because it's 5 seconds.
You gotta go faster than that,
Lizzie. Oh my God, that felt
like one. I'm gonna just give it to her. She got it right. I think I started before I said go, so I'm gonna go ahead and give that to her.
Yeah, you did, Nia.
All right.
Did you guys even hear my answers?
Yeah.
Although she still took a long time. All right, Robbie, name three children's television shows starting now.
Bernie, Caillou, Dora.
Bernie.
Caillou.
I know Caillou.
Bernie and Friends.
Oh, you said Barney. I think you said Bernie. Gotcha. I'll go. Yes. Nailed it. We got nailed it on that one.
Rob, I had Barney Sheets in college.
Oh, the white ones with the point. No, no.
Careful.
All right. Gianni Storm, this should be quick. Name three planets. Start.
I mean, she is Jupiter.
Jupiter, Mars, and Venus.
That is great. Good job. Good job.
Earth.
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
She's just naming the good ones.
All right, we got time for round two. Let's do it. end of round. It's all tied up. All right, Lizzie, name three famous animals. Starting famous. Now.
What? Barney. Animals. What?
Animal. Yeah. What question is that?
Is not an animal.
Like lion.
Nailed it.
Barney is an animal. Barney is a dinosaur. Right.
Robbie, name three parts of a computer. Oh, you got an easy one. Start now.
Oh my God. Right.
CPU, GPU, hard drive.
Yes, nailed it.
What?
You might as well give me name three sports.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, Gianni. Let's see if you can catch up. Gianni, name three girl bands. You have five seconds starting now.
Three. Look at all
the
time.
TLC. TLC, Spice Girl, and Spice Girls, and SWV.
Destiny's Child.
Failed it. All right, we're going to do one more round just because it's fun. All right. Lizzie, name three movies with sequels. Starting now.
Let's see. Die Hard, Best Man, and No Sudden Move.
No, that's not a movie with sequel. Failed it. If you said Space Jam, you had it.
Close. I don't think about Space Jam. That was.
It's been purged.
All right, Lizzie is officially out. All right, Robbie, name three things in your pencil case. Starting now.
Pen, pencil, blah, 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 blah. Pencil leads, blah. Eraser, calculator,
ruler. All right.
I feel like Nailed Bob it. Gets 20 seconds. No way.
Say it loud, Gianni.
I mean, you guys are like,
Hey, we're trying to think.
My friend Melanie just texted me. She was like, I can't believe you didn't say Harry Potter.
I love Harry Potter. Love me some Harry Potter.
Yeah, I just said Harry Potter.
Star Wars, Star Trek, Alien, Predator.
Yeah, because Jacqueline Robinson's like Star Wars, Die Hard, Lord of the Rings. Shoot.
Twilight.
She did say Die Hard. All right, Gianni, you had a lot of time to get ready for this one. So name three countries with red in their flag. Starting now.
USA.
Good.
USA, China, Cuba.
Does Cuba have? I don't even know.
Cuba doesn't have.
Okay, all right. So you nailed it. Unfortunately,
Canada's flag is red and white. Red and white are the two colors.
Nailed it. All right. So Robbie Rock, you win the game. Three points. Good job, Robbie. Good job.
Good job, Rob. Rob had extra time.
Melanie's laughing at you on Facebook, by the way. That was great. All right, let's close it out with some shout outs. All right, Gianni Storm, shout outs.
Shout out to Cuba. Keep going hard. Keep being rebellious. You have a lot of American cousins that are, I don't know if we can be considered cousins, but you have a lot of support, Cuba, and shout out to my dog Sasha once again for turning 35.
She's turning 35. She's going to get old quick. Robbie Rock.
So I guess my shout out is to my father-in-law, JP. We're celebrating his birthday.
JP!
He's got double that Sasha. So happy birthday, JP. Love you, buddy.
Loving some JP. All right. Lizzie Enders. Shout outs.
Shout outs to the U.S. Olympians. I know for the past month, we've been caught up in all of the Shikari drama, but there are a lot of U.S. Olympians who are in Tokyo, who worked hard, and who are going to come through. So shout out to our peeps. Shout out to good luck to everyone.
All right, so my shout-out goes to my niece, Bernadette, a.k.a. B-Girl, who sent me the quick-fire question for today. She's also working on putting out a new podcast of her own, a Dungeons & Dragons-themed podcast. So, shout-out to B-Girl. Shout-out to B-Girl. I'm excited for her. Yep.
Very cool.
Well, yep. There's another nerd collaboration.
That's right. That's right. And our final shout out goes to the winner of our Pet Shenanigans of the Week, Katie Raviv Harley, aka Katie Did, one of our most memorable guest hosts, posted a photo of her beautiful pup, and it lit up our comments and likes on TLS so Pet cute. Shenanigans Facebook group. The caption is "My baby boy." Oh yeah!
I love your pet. I love your pet.
My baby boy Topher watching TV and looking cute was the caption.
Oh, all right,
Topher.
To see all your beautiful pets or to post your favorite pet's photo, make sure you join TLS Pet Shenanigans Facebook group. Like Topher here, the photo with the most likes and comments gets a TLS shout out each week. So that is officially all the time we have for today's show. I'd like to thank you all for joining us. We hope that maybe you learned something new, gained a new perspective, or even got some things off your chest. Like, follow, and subscribe at TLS Live Show. Don't forget.
I got a new purse this week, y'all. Ooh.
A new purse, huh? All right. We'll be back next Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget, this Wednesday, 8 p.m., Gianni Storm, Olivia E. will be going unscripted once again. And our final thought for the day goes to Rob B. Rob.
Take us home, Rob B. Take us home.
Go play outside if you can. Rediscover that kid. Yeah. Be amazed by the grass. Be amazed by the clouds. Be amazed by the variety of life that's all around us, because communing with nature is a peaceful experience. And if you haven't done it in a while, maybe it's time to reconnect.
I love that, Robbie.
Rob. I love all that.
All right. Thank you, Johnny, Rob, Jose, Olivia.
Hey, Jose. Hey, Olivia.
Hey, Joe.
And of course, Lizzie. And most importantly, I want to thank you. Thank you for joining us. We will definitely see you guys next time. Shenanigans.